Yeah, so it's important. Thank you, Julian. We want to know. We don't have this situation. We raise them. Other people don't have that here.
Okay.
All right, you start.
I'll sit beside them. I will speak for a minute.
Good morning. We're ready to start the meeting this morning. So welcome to the Indiana County Commissioners' regular meeting on March 11th. Roll call, please.
Commissioner Keith is absent. Commissioner Dunlap?
Here.
Commissioner Hess?
Here.
Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We have the minutes from February 25th. Is there an approval for the minutes?
I so move.
A second? All in favor?
Aye.
Public comment. Do we have anyone for public comment? And I remind individuals for public comment that you have a limit of 3 minutes. And when you stand to address the group,
so
would you please state your name?
Yeah. Just wherever you like this stuff. Yeah, right over there is fine, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes, my name is Jessica Jopp. As a member of the Concerned Residents of Western Pennsylvania, or CRO, I've been reading over the large volume of questions generated by a recent community gathering at the Indiana Theater. There's a lot of community concern and outrage about the proposed frack gas power plant and AI data center with profound environmental and health implications before us. I share these concerns. If this proposal goes through, there are potentially devastating long-term problems with our air quality, water supply, with toxic waste, as well as with noise and light pollution. And just one example, a quote from some research, national research about power plants. According to an environmental nonprofit, the Homer City plant could release as much as 4 million pounds of carbon dioxide into the atmosphere every hour. 4 million pounds of carbon dioxide into the atmosphere every hour, about the same as 4 million idling cars. I would urge the commissioners to do whatever possible to protect the health and environment of the residents of the county. The minimum would be tasking the Planning Commission with drafting ordinances for both the power plant and the data center, and perhaps this is already in the works. But for many reasons, a far better outcome would be an outright rejection of this project, following the model of communities all over the Commonwealth, indeed across the country, that are saying no to these billionaire boondoggles. Thank you.
Thank you. You have a camera?
Yes. Thanks for taking comments. My name is Tamara Whited. I'm a resident of Indiana Borough. My comment actually takes the form of a couple of questions following up from Jessica Jopp's comment. Is there a countywide ordinance appropriate for and comprehensive enough to mitigate the many possible environmental impacts of the proposed gas power plant and data center campus? If not, do you intend to request the Planning Commission to draft one or more than one? In that event, I'm sure you're aware that there are model ordinances available that address relevant impacts, such as location, setbacks, noise levels, water withdrawals, post-construction water monitoring, and aesthetic remediation, to name just a few. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you both.
There were no executive sessions held since the last meeting. Next on the agenda is a proclamation for 4-H Week. Whereas 4-H is the nation's largest youth development organization, engaging nearly 6 million young people across the United States in hands-on learning experiences that build lifelong skills. And whereas during 24-25 program year, The Indiana County 4-H program supported 3,567 youths, helping them to grow into confident, independent, resilient, and compassionate leaders through positive youth development and learning by doing opportunities. Whereas Pennsylvania 4-H delivered through the Penn State Extension reaches more than 77,000 youth ages 5 to 18 across 67 counties of the Commonwealth, providing accessible programming in rural communities, small towns, and urban areas alike.
And whereas Pennsylvania 4-H youth benefit from the dedication of a statewide network of extension educators, program staff, and over 6,000 adult volunteers who mentor and guide young people in hands-on projects spanning animal science, STEM, civic engagement, health and wellness, and many other subject areas. And whereas Pennsylvania 4-H Week celebrates the meaningful contributions and accomplishments of the 4-H members, recognizing the youth of Indiana County who strive each day to make a positive difference in their clubs, schools, and communities. And whereas the 4-H program provides young people with transformative opportunities for leadership development, community involvement, career exploration, problem solving, friendship, and personal growth, equipping them for a foundation of lifelong success. Now, therefore, we, the Indiana County Board of Commissioners, do hereby proclaim March 15th through the 21st, 2026, as Pennsylvania 4-H Week throughout Indiana County, and we encourage all residents to join us in recognizing and celebrating 4-H for its enduring impact, valuable service, and unwavering commitment to empowering youth across our county and the Commonwealth. I offer this proclamation dated today, the 11th of March, 2026, as a motion.
Second the motion. All in favor?
Aye.
So today we have representatives of 4-H. We have Cheyenne, who is from the Penn State Extension office. So I'll call on her first. We would like everyone to stand up and introduce themselves at some point. So I'll let you go first.
Well, Cheyenne can't be here today, so that's okay. She's in Allegheny County. You're fine. You're fine. My name is Angela Boring. I am the 4-H educator for Indiana County. And I'm not going to take a lot of time to talk because we brought a lot of kids here today. Some of them had opportunity to request out of school or move their classes for the day to be here. And so I want to kind of let you showcase what we have created and what we are growing here. I think our goal is to grow members that, of course, can spread their wings from these roots and go, but also ones that can continue to build here in Indiana County. So we have a lot of exciting things happening in 4-H. This is kind of the time of year when you're in that animal science space and you're getting new animals. And so all of our animal clubs are kicking off, and we'll go through that until the fair, of course, with those kiddos. We also are preparing, we were speaking a little bit ahead of time about our national conference. So our leadership, kids from Youth County Council, as well as those that help me in programming at day camps or when we partner with the YMCA in schools at times, they are coming with me to present to myself and Marianne, our leader of County Council, are coming with us to DC in 2 weeks to present at National 4-H Conference to other peers of their own in 4-H from across the country. So they have been selected of the things that they are doing already here to present that to the others to implement that in their spaces. So I think that's really an amazing thing that we have. So like I said, I don't want to steal all their thunder. They are amazing. Our program is growing and our volunteers are wonderful. We are so fortunate to have them and always looking for more volunteers and more members to find their spark in 4-H to see what they can do and grow here as well.
So would you start in the back and we'll work forward with introducing yourself and how you're connected with the place.
Hi, my name is Katrina Hoffman. I'm part of County Council 4-H.
Hi, my name is Kira County. I'm a part of County Council and also Bits and Bridles Horse Club.
Hi, my name is Olivia Hillerman. I'm part of the Gordon 4-H Club.
Hi, my name is Marian Ostash. I'm the adult volunteer that leads County Council, and I was in 4-H as a youth member, and I really enjoy going to all the events, so it's really exciting for me to be able to take these kids to those events and see them enjoy it.
Hi, my name is Riley Fink. I'm in Indiana Youth County Council, Gordon, and also the Shooting Sports Program. I am also a state project ambassador for shooting sports and camping, as well as a national ambassador for shooting sports.
Good morning. My name is Abigail Bouch. I am a member of the Indiana County Youth County Council and the Treasure Seekers 4-H Club. My projects include sewing and health and nutrition, and then the leadership from County Council. I recently just got inducted to be a state project ambassador this year, and I specialize in the healthy living program area. Thank you.
Hello, everybody. My name is Connie Bruner. I have been a 4-H leader for many, many years. I was also a 4-H member like they were, so we want to instill what we've learned over the years to new people and spread the word about 4-H and how amazing and awesome and wonderful it is. What's your name? Will stand up
and
say hi.
I'm a bit fast.
Oh, it's okay. Everybody here, I think, knows you. What's your first name?
Hello, so I am Abigail Fast, but I'm a 7-11 Gordon.
4-H leader Gordon.
Yes.
Yep.
Thanks, Abigail.
Okay, next one. Yeah.
My name is Abram Tillman, and I am in 4-H Gordon.
Loverbud, right?
Yeah. What is it?
Loverbud.
My name is Elliot Kahneman, and I am in Gordon 4-H.
Did we get everybody?
Oh,
yeah.
So my name is Clark Brenner. I've been a 4-H leader for 30-some, almost 40 years, not quite as long as my wife. But we do participate in all types of shooting sports so that we can bring a safety factor to the youth. We're involved not only at the county level, but also the state level. And I'm also involved at the national level as well. We also have a community club where we do all types of projects. Any interest that the youth would like to learn about, we create a program and a specialized course through Penn State for them. And I would also be remiss if I didn't say, don't forget the funding, Penn State and 4-H. We always need that, and we're always looking for that, and we greatly support it because it is so vast. So we're grateful for all the help that you guys provide through that venue, and ask that we continue that. We're very thankful that the county and 4-H are able to go hand in hand. Thank you.
So, Riley, would you like to share any words about what 4-H means to you?
Sure.
He knew I was going to ask.
Just preparing. So, as mentioned before, my name is Riley Fink, and
yeah. Sorry. Thanks.
Is this good?
Yeah, we didn't want your back set. All right.
So, as I said, my name is Riley Fink, and 4-H means a lot to me. So, as all of these people here, they all have their own passion in 4-H, and I have that for myself. And 4-H started about 4 years ago when I was little, and that was thankfully to the Bruners here. And this was in shooting sports, and this is what really started my passion. And little me was very shy. I didn't like to do anything. I was nervous as a train wreck. I didn't want to be there. And now look at me. 4 years later, I'm able to just speak up to a crowd and say my voice. And I'm so thankful for that. I've been able to experience many different opportunities and many experiences, such as where I got to fly to Idaho for the National Teen Ambassador Program. So 4-H means a lot to me. They are all my family now, and I can say that very proudly. They have really instilled all of this progress and confidence in myself now, and I have learned so many hard skills, but mainly those soft skills are what I'm able to provide to my employers. And I think that I personally, even though I'm only 16 years old, I am ready to go into that workforce. So I'm very thankful for what 4-H has given me.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Now I'll ask one more person, and then we'll do a picture. Abigail.
Good morning, everyone. So my name is Abigail Bouch, and 4-H means a lot to me. I remember when I first started 4-H, I was about 7 years old, attended my first meeting, scared to death, didn't want to be there, sat all alone in the corner, and then the one girl in my club brought me up and said, come join our meeting. I said, okay, went up, sat down. It was the best meeting I ever sat through. And ever since then, I have built on so many skills that I never thought I could build on. The family, the friendships that I have built is just amazing. The skills that I've learned, the projects that I've done, every opportunity has just built me into be the person that I am today. I'm so thankful for that, and I thank you all. Thank you.
Thank you for being here. I don't think I need to say anything more. I think they said it very eloquently. And so we appreciate the leaders that are out there doing the 4-H clubs, and we are grateful to have all of the children and the youth involved.
And may I say that I look out of this room and I see a whole bunch of great leaders, present day and future leaders. And I'm really, I'm glad that the county can partner with 4-H and make that investment in youth leadership, youth development. Angela, we've been through some things with county fair and trophies, and the Bruners have just been such a mainstay, and all of you all are just tremendous. So I want to thank you for caring about our youth, for caring about our communities, and for caring about the 4-H program. It's important that we keep doing these things. So thank you.
Did you guys know there's a 4-H pledge?
I know that things are around, and I know that, but I don't know what it is.
It takes like a minute. Can we all say that for them?
Well, why don't you guess? Why don't you stand it up?
Yes, let's stand up.
My heart to better aligned teeth, my hands to larger service, and my health to better living for my club, my community, my country, and my world.
Thanks. So come up and get a picture of that way. If anybody's
this is just a fraction of our group, but thank you.
You can step back a little bit more. The rest. You're gonna have to go. You're gonna have to go. To
Abigail, you want to come to the end of the picture, or you want to take a picture? She's gonna take a picture.
Okay. You guys want to pull this yourself? Thank you. Thanks a
lot.
Thanks. A little bit still closer, sharp, everybody. That way, there we go. Thank you. Thank you. Hold on.
It'll be good somewhere in there, somewhere, right?
Yes. If you never listen to me, that's the lesson. I'm sorry,
You actually breaks it up a little bit. You can be that. Oh, no.
Sir. Thank you. Sir is my dad. This is the one for a
So we have another proclamation to do, and this is for Intellectual Disabilities Awareness Month. Okay, let's start then.
All right, Intellectual Disabilities Awareness Month, launch of March 2026. Whereas an intellectual disability is defined as a disability characterized by significant limitations, both in intellectual functioning and in adaptive behavior, as expressed in conceptual, social, and practical adaptive skills which originates before age 21. And whereas people with an intellectual disability are of all racial, ethnic, educational, social, and economic backgrounds. And whereas people with an intellectual disability are valued members of our society, they are friends, neighbors, and co-workers who find fulfillment living everyday lives. And whereas early intervention and education and home and community-based services continue to be vital to enabling citizens with an intellectual disability to function and thrive. With such supports, people with intellectual disabilities, like everyone, can find greater opportunities to develop relationships, pursue their dreams, to be integrated into their community, and contribute in a meaningful way to society.
Whereas the Armstrong Indiana Behavioral and Developmental Health Program continues to explore avenues to ensure citizens with intellectual disabilities have access to quality services, choice in services and providers, and most importantly, to be productive and active members of our community. Whereas the ARC of Indiana County continues to be an advocate for individuals with intellectual disabilities and developmental delays, ensuring that individuals receive the most appropriate education in the least restrictive environment by law. The ARC continues to build partnerships, break down barriers, advocate for community inclusion, and create positive solutions to empower individuals to live their best lives. Therefore, in order to recognize the many contributions and challenges of citizens with an intellectual disability, we, the Commissioners of Indiana County, do proclaim March 2026 as Intellectual Disabilities Awareness Month in Indiana County. We encourage all citizens to support those efforts and the hard work of Pennsylvanians with intellectual disabilities and their families as they strive to live self-determined lives and realize their own personal aspirations. I offer this proclamation as a motion this stated day, 11th of March, 2026.
I second the motion.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
So I'm going to call first on Tammy, the executive director of the Armstrong Indiana Behavioral and Developmental Health Program, to start us off, and we have a lot of people here to be introduced to.
Yeah. So good morning, everyone. Thank you, commissioners, for the proclamation. We really appreciate getting the word out about the services that are available in Armstrong and Indiana County. Currently, there's a little over 800 people that are receiving services, both in home and community, residential, and in-home services. So I want to introduce here today, we have Sherry Montgomery, our Intellectual Disabilities Program Director. Kayla Saylor is our family liaison. And of course, Michelle Jordan from the ARC is here to invite them to say a little bit about our programs and what we have to offer in Armstrong and Indiana County. So thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, everybody. I'm Sherry Montgomery. I'm the Intellectual Disabilities Program Director. And I'm just so thankful to the commissioners for this month that we can recognize the individuals that we serve. We do everything possible to give them the best possible life, and we appreciate everything you do to support us as we're doing.
Thank you.
Hi, everyone. My name is Kayla Seiler. I am the family liaison for Armstrong, Indiana County. I'm also the mom of a little girl with an intellectual disability, so thank you for this opportunity today. I'm really excited to be here.
Thank you.
Sure. Hey, everybody. Michelle Jordan from the ARC. So the ARC, without collaborations with AIDHP and the collaborations with a lot of community providers throughout the community and the state, really, we would not be able to provide what we provide. And individuals with intellectual disabilities, the needle is really moving forward with community inclusion, something that has to do with unified schools, sports that are happening with Special Olympics inside of the school systems. That has moved the needle quite significantly over the last 5 years. But it's all about community inclusion. So it's about employment, making sure that we're opening up employment opportunities for individuals with disabilities. We're opening up lifespan experiences. So it's not just about advocating for students before they graduate from high school, but it's advocating during that lifespan from 18 on to 69, 89, they're living much older than they have in previous years. So, we work very hard in the community. We've worked to partner with all the different agency providers, but also our county legislators, making sure that our voices are heard, asking for what we need for individuals with disabilities in order for them to live their best lives. Funding is a big part of what we do. Seems like all I do is funding, but you know, right now the budget, they're looking at the budget for the state, and our ID line item is pretty much flat funded for this year. So there's not a lot of new money in that line item. So it's always a challenge for us to provide what they need when costs go up. We still have two state centers in Pennsylvania, Selins Grove and Evansburg Center, which houses close to 400 individuals and institutions. And, you know, we promote home and based community living services so that individuals can live their best lives in the community, because we truly believe being out in the community, experiencing employment, workshops, you know, all the things that they can be involved with, that's how they live their best lives. Institutionalization is really not actually up there at the top of the line. So working to make sure that they have what they need in the community, but there is a lack of funding to do that. You know, we work with our local legislators, but we encourage you to let legislators know that individuals with disabilities need help too. And so we thank you for this proclamation, because it raises awareness. That's what we love to do every day, is to talk about what we do, talk about why it's important. And who here has been to a unified sports event or seen something in their school, and just the joy that it's brought to everybody. So we want everybody to experience that joy and experience what it's like working in the community with an individual with a disability and helping them create their best life. So thank you so much, Commissioner.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I've sat in all the different meetings, and I will say that if you aren't aware of the services that are out there and the activities that are going on, make sure you check out those websites. I know that there's just a lot of things that families and individuals can take part in. So I just do want to say that.
Mm-hmm. And I appreciate the ability and the opportunity to partner with you all. The County Commissioners Association does a lot of advocacy and legislative work through our affiliate organizations. So we see that need and that opportunity, those opportunities. We got to make those happen as much as we possibly can, because you're right. When it flatlines, that's not just flatline funding. That's a step back in the wrong direction. So we need to keep pushing. And I appreciate all your efforts towards that. And you know that there are many, many providers in Indiana County. You all work with them and you vet them and you do such a great job on making sure that they are appropriate for our citizens. So I thank you. It's hard work. We appreciate you very, very much. So thank you all.
Thank you.
Proclamation.
Mine is Indian taking pictures. Here.
Thank you. Okay. So now we move on to the serious public agendas, but we need to take care of some business. The next is the annual Public Housing Agency Plan from the Indiana County Housing Authority. We have on Zoom Shannon Jackson, the director of the Housing Authority, who will explain to us what this entails.
Good morning, everyone. I apologize for not being able to attend in person. Before I talk to you about the annual plan, I just wanted to say congratulations to all of the 4-H members. That was a fabulous presentation. We really enjoyed that this morning. So anywho, moving on, every year I have to submit a plan to the Department of Housing and Urban Development, to HUD, talking about what our agency is going to do through the coming year, what our goals are, essentially what our plan is. And I submitted the first part of this plan last year. This year, I'm looking at making a few changes. We will still provide all of the services that we provide to our community, our public housing, our Section 8 voucher program, our family self-sufficiency program. This year, though, I want to focus more on changing our culture of accountability within our agency and the services that we provide to the community. I want to make sure all of our residents feel safe, they feel heard. We've started doing some more trainings, and we've incorporated a vision statement and some core corporate values into our program now. So that's my goal going forward. I want to just work really hard at changing our culture and also changing the way we provide services. I just want to make sure that everybody feels their worth and feels heard. So that is what is in my plan this year. I think that pretty much sums it up. I could go on, but are there any questions?
No, of course, I read the plan with interest and noted some of the improvements that you're doing under capital. So it looks like a good plan for the individuals who are in your public housing and Section 8 and Warwick Towers and your other families of the your veterans programs, too.
Correct.
So I have no questions.
No, thank you. It's a lot of paperwork, but they are very meaningful goals to those people who are using the services, and I know that they're appreciated. So thank you, Shannon.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Motion to accept the annual plan.
So moved.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you, Shannon. Next on the agenda is the resolution to authorize the filing of a Pennsylvania Department of Community and Economic Development Municipal Assistance Program grant application. Josh.
That's good. Thank you, Commissioners. The Office of Planning and Development requests that the Board of Commissioners authorize the filing of an application for grant funding from the Pennsylvania Department of Community and Economic Development, ACED, to their Municipal Assistance Program, known as the MAP program, for funding to assist in developing a new update of the Indiana County Comprehensive Plan. The current comprehensive plan, titled Where We Live, was adopted in September of 2012. The total estimated project budget is $170,000, with $85,000 being requested from the DCED MAP grant. There's a 50% match. The MAP program requires 50% match from the county, which has been secured through county funds, as well as planning office staff as in-kind contributions to the project. The planning office does also request authorizing this resolution and the signing of any additional materials as specified by the program application.
Thank you. Any questions or comments?
No. I move to authorize the filing of the application.
A second. All in favor?
Aye. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks. We know this is a big piece of our planning for the future for all the aspects of the planning for the county, including our housing plan, which is a piece of that. And this has been talked about for a while. And you can see that it was last adopted in 2012. So this is good. We're moving forward to get that done.
Mm-hmm. Super. Yeah. Okay. Covers a lot of territory, and we appreciate that.
Thank you. I'll comment just briefly. There is a 3-member subcommittee of our 9-member County Planning Commission that is a long-range comprehensive planning committee, standing committee, mm-hmm. and we have been meeting regularly as we have, but we meet monthly or bi-monthly, and this particular endeavor has been on discussion for really the last couple of years. We've been planning to plan,
yeah.
So we're ready to dive in with the comp plan update.
There will be a lot of opportunities for the public to.
There will be a lot of opportunity for public participation in the plan development process and feedback as the plan is coming together. We expect it to be a little over a year from the time the project does kick off,
mm-hmm.
Through until we have a draft plan.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Byron, too.
Yeah, if I may, appreciate Josh and the Planning Commission's work on this. One thing that we're going to be adding to this is an economic development chapter, which we currently do not have in the current where we live plan. So we'll be doing that, and we're having a separate meeting on workforce development initiatives with our educational and academic partners and other nonprofits, in the workforce space. So that should be a nice addition to the overall plan, and in particular, looking at some land use provisions as well. Given a lot of issues that are before the community currently.
It's a lot of things are changing.
Yeah,
and it's good to try to get ahead of it. So thank you for your leadership there.
And again, with a lot of the changes and, even our public comment, with the SALDO in place, that's a newer document that was put in advance of the decommissioning of the Homer City Generating Station. So a lot of the things that are being brought for are contained within the SALDO. Unfortunately, some of the other things are municipal issues, above and beyond, our scope of land development process. So, but we're evaluating all those, and we'll work with our municipal partners.
So what is SALDO? So they know.
Excuse me. SALDO is a subdivision and land development ordinance. For decades, the County Planning Commission administered on behalf of the county a subdivision ordinance, which is just taking a parcel and either adding parcels to that parcel or subdividing parcels, making 100 acres into 250 acre parcels, either a sale or giving it to a family member or whatever. So there's a process for, dividing parcels, and every parcel has an ID and all that mapping and associated assessment information, gets incorporated into that. So that's all a process that has to happen. Depending on whether it's a buildable lot or a non-buildable lot, there's a lot of different factors that go into it, but that's managed at the county level. A component of that under what's called the Municipalities Planning Code provides counties and or municipalities like a borough or a township or a city, subdivisions of state government, county government, and municipalities to control land development. So things like setback and buffer zones and, different factors. It's different than zoning, of what can go where is zoning, the land use provision, but things in our land development would be, road improvements, stormwater management, making sure that landscape buffers, making sure things are done in a certain way to, be a good development for a community. However, there are things that are permitted at the state or federal level that are beyond our land development. So we defer to those permitting standards, such as air quality and other issues of water quality. Those are at the state and or federal level, whether it's the Department of Environmental Protection or the Army Corps of Engineers, depending on the circumstance and type of permits required, whether it's and even our conservation district does what's called NPDES permits, and don't ask me to say some pollution, something or other.
National pollutants discharge elimination.
Yeah. So that's done regionally through our conservation district under a decree that delegation authority from DEP to a conservation district, but things then sometimes have to bump up to DEP, Department of Environmental Protection, and or there's a joint permit, Army Corps of Engineers, depending on what's being impacted in the project area. So that's a long-winded answer, but it's complex.
Well, that's okay. And if any of you decide you ever want to go into planning or any of those aspects, everything he said, pretty much everything he said, is on the Indiana County Office of Planning and Development website. So you can just go to icopd.org and find that information.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. It's...
Okay, we voted on that. We're done with that, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Change order number two for the Indiana County Food Bank renovation project.
Yeah, I'm here on behalf of Dave Morrow, who was unable to attend in person, so he sends his regards. The Office of Planning and Development, the Indiana County Community Action Program, and Stifel McGraw Architects requested the Board of Commissioners approve change order number two in the amount of $2,076.90. With LMJ Contractors, Inc. for the ICAP, the Indiana County Community Action Program Food Bank Renovation Project. Change Order 2 covers the removal and replacement of the existing vertical steel channel supporting and the electrical service lines attached to the building. The work includes fabricating a new post using round stock steel tubing, installation, flashing to new roof panels, and reconnecting service lines with Penelope. With the approval of change order number two, the revised contract with LMJ Contractors, Inc. will be $497,076.90. This additional cost will be covered by Community Development Block Grant, CDBG funds.
And this is, we're getting really close to the end of the project with this.
Yeah, this is one of the last things. So, the overall project included a new roof, which we weren't able to include with the acquisition and the initial development, and new siding and some associated things. So given that this electric line attaches, it just needed to be made right. And so this is what this change order covers.
Thank you. Motion to approve.
I motion to approve change order number two.
I second. All in favor?
Aye.
Is there any other business to be brought forth for the board today?
No.
Our next regular meeting will be March 25th at 10:30 a.m., and we are adjourned.
I will say this has been a wonderful meeting for you all. Very educational, community planning, human services, economic development. So good. And citizen input. So it's a very nice meeting you all to be here. So.